Can God do something tonight in our hearts, and can God heal our bodies? Can God answer questions? Can God heal my mind, my emotions? Can God help me with my relationships with people? Okay. Can God bless the city of Baltimore? Can God use the play? The play, the three more nights. How many of you have seen the play? You saw it last night? Okay. Anybody bringing somebody, a visitor to the play tomorrow night? Anybody? Raise your hand. There's some people. How about it? Anybody? You bringing somebody to the play? How about Friday night? Anybody bringing somebody? Saturday night, anybody bring anybody? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Come on. How many liked the play? It was good? I loved it. I did. The singing was amazing. Rachel did an amazing job. Emma. Sorry if I forget anybody. Great play. Great message. Very important. I don't want to be long, but I want you to turn to Matthew 24, and it might be good for you to stand up. Stay standing. Verse 36. Where any of you, by the way, this is a little bit funny, a little funny thing. How many of you did well in school when you were tested? When you were tested, you not only knew what the question was, but you knew what the teacher was looking for. Okay, how about other people? When you read a test question, you were like more objective and wondering, right? Anybody? And you didn't do well with tests. Okay, right? Here's an example. It's a math test. Bob has 36 candy bars. He eats 29. What does he now have? The answer, diabetes. Okay, like that's how I would answer in my tests. I wonder, do they realize that this is possible? Okay, you may be seated. turn to one pre-point is 1 Corinthians 15. Do all Christians believe in the resurrection of the dead? Read 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we read here verse 12, is it? Yeah, 12. 1 Corinthians 15, 12. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? So Paul is ministering to Christians, and he's saying there are some in the Corinthian church that don't believe in the resurrection of the dead. And he's like, these are real immature believers from our point of view, because the resurrection of the dead is such a critical part of our faith. So Paul argues that in the next in that chapter, he really brings a lot of light on the subject of the resurrection. This is Easter season, and in the Easter season we celebrate the resurrection of Christ from the dead. The play Stranger on the Road is about Christ meeting two disciples that were walking on the road in unbelief, not believing that Christ would be raised from the dead, though he was. But they had not seen him. They were not believing it. They were living in doubt and unbelief. Turn to Luke 24 and read that. Yeah, Luke 24. And verse 24. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. So the two disciples, one of them, his name is Cleopas, and you see him in the play, with the other disciple, who is really unnamed in the scripture, they are not believing. They knew that Christ had died on the cross, and Christ approached them and walked with them on the road, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him, in verse 16. And that happens in our life too, where there are things that are happening round about us and we cannot see it. There are things that we read and we don't understand it. There are conversations that we have with each other and we don't realize how important they are. There is a calling on a young man or a young woman's life, and they feel it or they sense it, and they don't grasp the reality and the importance of that. There are many things where we err and many things we don't know about. The resurrection of the dead is one of them. If you cut potato, Pastor Stevens used to say, cut a potato up into pieces and throw it in the field, and what do you have? Potato plants. A piece of potato grows up to be a plant. And seed sown, and you have the seed look like a little piece of dirt, but then later you see it blossoms into a bush. So is the resurrection. It is sown in dishonor, but raised in glory. And there is a glory that is celestial and a glory that is terrestrial. One is of one glory, and then it says there are different kinds of flesh. The flesh of man, flesh of fish, flesh of beast, flesh of fowl. And he says these are different kinds. So is the resurrection. We have not yet seen what we shall be, but when we see him, we shall be like him. And I would say, even so, our churches, that in a church we may kind of get a hold of what is being said. And when I get a hold of it, when the Spirit speaks to me and shows me something, then I realize something in the church that is so critical and so important and so vital and helpful for me that I would say, I don't even know what I would be believing in or what I would be embracing if it wasn't for God giving me a Bible that is open, a pastor teacher that is preaching, the Holy Spirit that is ministering, the body of Christ that is praying, the obedient people of God that are following, and good things that are happening. Okay. So he said to them in Luke 24 and verse 25, O fools and slow of heart to believe. Now, I'm sure you didn't come to church on a Wednesday night after working all day to be called a fool. Well, that's what just happened. Verse 25, O fools and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Well, let's make a short point of that. There are things that are hard to believe, and we're slow in believing in them. The resurrection is one of those things. What do you mean? A guy's buried in the cemetery and he's going to come back to life? O King Agrippa, why is it you don't believe that God could raise the dead, Acts 26, verse 8. Well, don't you also, you and I also realize that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will also quicken our mortal body when it is in the grave? But couldn't it also quicken our mortal body tonight? While we are living in a mortal body, can it also, the Holy Spirit kind of waken me up? Remember, Jacob said, he said, when he woke up from the dream, he said, God was here, and I didn't know it. the burning bush of Exodus chapter 3. And Moses said, he saw the bush burning, and then he stopped, turned aside. And after he looked again, God spoke to him out of the bush. Sometimes I walk past a divine appointment, or sometimes I walk past something that is important, or sometimes I don't recognize somebody that is walking with me, or sometimes I don't realize that God is in the song, God is in the obedience, God is in the prayer, God is in the fellowship, God is in the Bible. I don't realize maybe God is simply in the quietness and he's speaking to us little by little. Maybe even decades of ministry that comes from the quiet and gentle working of grace in our lives. But Christ here is expecting more from these two guys, and he's pretty strong. O fools and slow of heart to believe. Wow. He said, you are slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. The prophets. Daniel. I've been reading the book of Daniel, meditating on it. I'm fascinated about the beasts. You know, have you read it? The beast, the goat, the ram. The ram with the two horns, the goat that flies fast and has one horn, and the ram that has two horns, and one is higher than the other. One is the Media and the Medes and the Persians, and the goat that goes quick from the west is Alexander the Great. And he just fast, quickly destroys Babylon, or the Persians. Excuse me, the Persians and the Medes. Are we slow of heart to believe the prophets like Daniel, the times we are living in? Are we slow to believe that these things? Okay, verse 26. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Now turn to the last part, is Matthew 24. Verse 36. Well, I mentioned Daniel because the iron, powerful machine of the last living, the beast, the nation that is so powerful without mercy, and I cannot help but think of the European World War II, where the steel, the millions of tons of steel, and the merciless, ruthless murder and torture, and the power of that amazing government that was in Europe, and what it took to subdue it. But it still exists today in our world. We have powerful military, powerful machines. Are we slow to believe the prophets, what they said about the coming of Christ, the purpose of Christ, what they said about the resurrection of Christ? So let's finish up. Look at 24:36. But of that day and hour knows no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Everything was normal until that day, when Noah entered into the ark. And what is he saying to us? But everything will be going, yeah, as we know of it today. It'll just be going on and on and on, and hardly anybody thinking of what is really going on, what is really happening. Verse 38, whereas in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, till the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, the other left. Watch, therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord does come. This is undoubtedly about the coming of Christ in the first part of his second coming. The coming as a thief, where people will not see him, will not recognize what is happening. The disappearance of people on the earth. The actual removal of human beings. Two will be in bed, one goes, one stays. The one that goes is the saved person. The two that are in the field, the one that goes is the saved person. And the other one is staying here through what is called the tribulation period. And that is what is called the rapture of the church. The disappearance of believers from the earth. Millions and millions of people that are gone in an instant, in the twinkling of an eye. We are changed. Do you believe in the resurrection? Christ was resurrected. Do you believe in the prophets? The prophets have written these things down in the scripture. Do you believe that this is really something that I don't fully comprehend, but I can believe it? I can embrace it and build my life on it. Look at verse 42. Watch, therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord does come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Christ was good to throw in a little story to explain things and say, look, I'm going to come back, but I'm not telling you when. Because if I told you when, you would use the time otherwise before my coming. You would accommodate your own self, but I'm not going to tell you. And here it is 2,000 years later, and he has not told us. But he tells every one of us, every generation, watch and wait. How do we do it? Let's look at it. It says, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord does come. He's coming. Well, he's coming. Christ is coming. You need some imagination. You need to realize the world, that God made this world, and there's something better coming. We actually think that animals on the earth will get along with each other. There'll not be murder. People will get along. There'll be peace here. The glory of God will be on the earth. We will not be evangelizing, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me from the least to the greatest on the earth when the glory of God comes on the earth like the waters cover the sea. Verse 40. I'm sorry, 43. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be also ready. In other words, I'm not telling you, but like a thief is not announcing his coming, I'm not announcing my coming either. For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man comes. Now, I honestly believe with our global communications and our global mentality and philosophy that is growing day by day, there'll be a very common way and an attitude amongst all the peoples of the world that Christ is not coming. Well, they don't even believe in Christ. They don't believe in his first coming. How can they believe in his second coming? And there is no problem. The lies that are in the world are many. But even believers are walking with a indifference as well. Look at verse 45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord has made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Who is a faithful and wise servant? maybe a mother. Think of a mother. Who is a faithful mother working in her house, cleaning the dishes, changing diapers, taking care of the children? Who is a faithful dad helping out and doing that with the... Who is a faithful guy at work or at the school or at business? Who is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord has made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? He's saying, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing. He is doing his duty. He is doing what he always does, whether the man comes home or not. He is doing his duty. He is there just standing and holding up and representing and doing what God has called him to do. Christ is coming back. What are we doing at Greater Grace? But we're having a play. And I was so impressed with all the young people in the play. And in the high school at GGCA teaching the seniors, I'm so impressed and enjoy so much the fellowship that we have together. We are doing what we do, whether Jesus comes back tonight or whether he comes back in 1,000 years, we do what we do because we are watching and faithful and capable and equipped and realizing that it is not in vain to do what we do. We pray for people, love people like Jesus did. Occupy till I come. Luke 19, verse 10. I give you 5 talents. I give you 3 talents. I give you 1 talent. Use your talents. I am coming back. You might say, when? I who knows? But we got our talents, and we're doing what it is that God has called us to do. And it isn't really a duty as much as it is our way of life, our joy, our investment, our knocking on a door, our talking to people, our invitation, our care. God, more work in our hearts like that. Look at verse 46. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. What? I will make him ruler over all my house, over all his goods. That's the story. Like, I will find him faithful when nobody's watching. I will find him faithful when I'm not coming. I'll find him faithful, and I'm going to use him. I'm going to anoint him. I'm going to bless him. I'm going to use him as my servant. And that is what has happened in the last 2,000 years, isn't it? Verse 47, I'll make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delays his coming. How many times have I heard that? The evil servant says in his heart, I'm saved. Don't worry about it. I'm saved. Jesus, I've always heard all my life about Jesus coming back. I got other things to do. I'm saved. Don't worry about it. It's gonna maybe come sometime, but I got other things that I'm gonna do. I got other things. Verse 49. And he shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken. And he'll get in fight with his fellow servants. It doesn't matter. Jesus is not coming now. He's delayed his coming. We can fight together, talk together, eat and drink together, get drunk together. We can party together. We can go do whatever it is that we want to, because all of this doesn't mean much to me. It doesn't mean much to me. I'm slow of heart to believe it. I have an evil heart, or it doesn't mean much to me. I don't care so much about the church or the vision or the mission. I haven't been touched in prayer. I'm not touched by the Bible. I'm not touched by the message. It doesn't mean much to me. I can go my own way and go out partying and living it up and doing anything I want to do. I can do that. And Christ is talking to you. And Christ is saying to you, there's business to do. There's things to talk about. There's a resurrected Christ that sent us into the world. There's a living Christ who is with us and amongst us all the time. Every day, everything that we do, God is with us. And it's only a matter of time before we meet Him. Remember the story of that brother Paul. He was here when Pastor Stevens was here. He got saved. He sat down front. And then he left. He was like a playboy kind of a guy. And he was saved. He went out with he was running with the Ravens, the football team, and higher up levels of society, and playing around and running around and so on. And then he came back to the church, and I met him, and he got on fire. He started to come and listen. And he repented, and he got on fire. About a year passed, and he came to me with bad news. He said, I've got cancer. It's not good. A month goes by, or 2 months go by. He's faithful. He's going. He goes, could God heal me? I said, we can pray. Yes, He can heal you. We can pray for that. As he got sick, and we prayed, and he got sick, and then he just said to me, he goes, I have so many regrets. I wasted 10 years. I was playing around. I was just doing my own thing. I would do anything because God is so real to me. I am so excited about Jesus Christ. I'm so excited about the Bible. I'm so excited about the faith. I'd do anything if I could live and serve and follow God the way it is in my heart now. And then he passed away, I think, in September of that year. And I remember his cry. I remember his plea. It was like, I missed it. I missed an opportunity. I missed what God could have done. I missed something that I know that God could have done. I wasted those years by this thing. This is what we're saying. You can get it. You get the idea? We'll not be ashamed when we follow Christ like this, like we're doing. On a Wednesday night, and get out of here when you're done. We'll dismiss you and get out of here and go home and go to bed if you want to. And go home. You did a good thing coming here tonight. God bless you. Thank you so much. This is amazing. We had a guest from Texas come here and preach. He goes, I can't believe the crowd. I go, have you ever seen that anywhere in your travels in the States? He goes, no, I have not seen on a Wednesday night a crowd like this. Isn't that amazing? I say, thank you, Lord, for what we got. And, you know, I also feel it isn't because it's our duty. It's a mingling of things. It's like this exhortation. And yeah, I have a kind of a sense of duty, yes, and I like it. It's good for me. But more than that, I like it when the Spirit moves in such a way that I get some fire or some understanding or something I didn't know about before, or a friendship or a hope or healing or some encouragement, because we're going to go through some crazy things perhaps in this life. Have you ever woken up and said, I never knew I'd be here? I know, how did I get into this? And that can be said two ways. Bad, like, I can't believe this happened to me. How did this happen? I can't believe it happened to me. Bad. And then the other way, I can't believe this happened to me. I can't believe this happened to me. That's amazing what happened to me and what I can see. Well, life has both of those. But the overall arcing blessing that I want you to hear tonight, that even when things go upside down, God is in it. And God is good to you. And God will take care of you. And all things work together for good. Even when I say, like Jacob was so disheartened that he had the bloody garment of his son Joseph, his favorite son, and he was heartbroken by it, and he lived in that sorrow for days, but then he didn't really realize that his son was alive and prime minister in Egypt and was feeding the nation of Israel and was really the answer of God for Joseph and his, for Jacob and his family. And the two guys on the road to Emmaus, they were crying in their soup or crying in their beer. They were disheartened and teardrops along the way that our teacher, our rabbi, was slaughtered by the Romans. But wake up. It's not all that bad. He's standing next to you talking. And he's saying, oh, fools and slow of heart to believe. Let's not be slow of heart to believe that we are in troublous times. And it's not in vain that we gather often all the more as we see the day approaching. There'll be a day when the people are not believing in God at all. There'll be a day when they don't believe in Christ at all. There'll be a day when we are very strange people. To be holding up a book like this and believing it with all our hearts the way we do. But that's fine with us. The stranger we are, maybe the better it is. Maybe the clearer the message. Maybe the better the attention that we get. Maybe something great God is doing. And then it says, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looks not for him in an hour that he's not aware of. Let's end with that. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, we are watching, waiting, anticipating, learning, like many believers in the world today are doing the same. Some are taking the opportunity for a way out, but we are looking for a way in. We are in and we are looking for opportunity to be there in the household, serving and involved. Thank you for this work of faith. Thank you for every person here. Thank you, Father. We need a cold shower sometimes to say, whoa, you are alive and you are here. And I want to honor you and follow you and embrace you with all my heart. Where you are coming at an hour when people are not expecting it. And that looks like the days we are living in today. The world is not expecting it, but we are. And it's going to happen someday. Maybe we be ready and prepared for that. And then anyone here tonight that doesn't have Christ in your heart, then simply open the door of your heart by faith and say to Christ, I believe in you. I have my questions, but I'm deciding to ask you into my life and ask you to answer my questions and save my soul tonight. Forgive me of my sin. I'm asking you to visit me and be in me, to lead me, to save me, to put my name in the book. I'm asking you to do this all by your great grace. In the name, in your name, in Jesus' name, amen. Anybody say that prayer, just raise your hand. Anyone at all tonight, raise your hand. Accepting Christ the first time, anyone? Anyone? Thank you, Lord.